Brothers and sisters, let's pray together. Open our ears, O God and Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and may your mercy, grace, and truth dwell in our hearts and minds towards all your people as you guide us to hear your holy word today correctly. Let your love for all of creation come into us in this very hour. Through Jesus Christ, we pray. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Brothers and sisters, listen, for these are the very words of God coming from the book of Genesis, chapter 1 through chapter 2, verse 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening and there was morning, the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together, he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth. And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens. So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters of the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things, and beasts of the earth according to their kinds. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant that is on the face of all the earth and every tree with its seed and its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. Brothers and sisters, these are the very words of God. Thanks be to God. Last week, you heard the basics of the gospel, why we need to know it, and why the world needs to hear it. I then left you with the four essential parts of the gospel: created, captured, rescued, and response. Today and next week and the week after that, I want to focus on that created portion of the gospel. And as we do so, I pray that we will see God's creation with a new sense of awe and wonder. But to do that, it is good to know how the creation in Genesis compares to other creation stories or myths that were written in ancient times in the ancient Near East. When we look at those other ancient creation stories or myths, and then examine the Holy Scriptures with the original intent of the author of Genesis, we will see that there are some absolutely profound realities that God is addressing through the creation stories found in Genesis. So let's jump right in. An excellent place to start is with a good definition of what is a myth. Myth does not refer to fiction or a fictitious account of reality. I think that that's how many of us would try to define what a myth is. But that is not quite right. More accurately, a myth is an attempt to describe reality in its entirety, but most often in a roundabout way. When we hear the word myth, we might imagine a cyclops or a centaur and scoff at it. None of that stuff can be true. But that's not what we mean when we use the word myth here. A very good and intelligent seminary professor of mine once told me that at its core, a myth means a meaningful story or an overall narrative that tries to make sense of existence. And then while I was at the University of Michigan, I had the privilege of studying mythology. It was a captivating class, but I was taken aback when the professor tried to claim that all ancient cultures have creation stories that are essentially the same. My friends, I assure you that our creation stories in Genesis are not just unique, but they are awe-inspiring. The grandeur and the uniqueness of the creation story found in the first two chapters of Genesis are unparalleled, evoking a sense of awe and wonder that no other myth can even match. There are many strikingly different stories in the ancient Near Eastern myths, but in general, their attempt to address the question, why is there something rather than nothing? These ancient creation stories roughly look something like this. One, there are many so-called gods. Two, these gods aren't even in control. They are subjects to something even greater, often called some version of the fates. Three, the gods are violent, lustful, greedy, and capricious. Four, the gods make men slaves so the gods can rest and be lazy. And five, women have no dignity and were created solely for childbearing and men's pleasure. These false ancient creation stories present so-called gods who act, well, just like us. They are greedy, lustful, spiteful, angry, and constantly at war. They are obvious, also awful projections of human beings. At a certain point in these so-called creation stories, the gods created man to be enslaved. Since the gods were always looking for leisure, they wanted someone else to take on their labor, leaving these so-called gods free to loaf and just hang out. Women, on the other hand, are regarded as utterly mentally and physically inferior and existed only for reproduction and male pleasure, with no evidence of their dignity as human beings. The dominating worldview that comes from such false creation stories, as well as the conclusion of such myths in the ancient world, is that we human beings have no inherent dignity. How could we? When the actual creator is eclipsed in these false myths, the created then loses all intrinsic dignity. If the so-called gods incidentally created us to be playthings, Those gods would pay attention to us only when they feel the urge to be entertained. As a child might view ants on the sidewalk through a magnifying glass. Friends, imagine that world. With that kind of creation worldview, you came from nowhere, you're going nowhere, and your daily striving, doing the work that you have been programmed to do, that it's meaningless. There is no ultimate purpose to life, marriage, family, or sexuality. There is not even purpose in your work. You're just like that ant fulfilling your duties given to you by the so-called gods who find your endless labor amusing. What reigns in a worldview like that? Despair? Meaninglessness? Hopelessness. When the answers to the questions, why am I here and where am I going, are no reason and nowhere, the next meaningful question, how do I get there, is absolutely pointless. That's not a relevant question when you're on a train to nowhere in a world without meaning. So, with a worldview like that, what do? How do you live? You minimize pain and you maximize pleasure. If you're going to live by the rules of the reality that you have been handed, that nothing matters, you then exploit other people and they exploit you. As everyone pursues the most pleasurable existence as possible, it's every man for himself. Why waste your time with kindness, integrity, holiness, and justice, and being good? You're not going anywhere, and there are no consequences beyond this finite world. So the goal becomes, enjoy yourself. Whatever floats your boat. You be you, you do you, you define you. That was the view and worldview of many ancient peoples from the ancient world. And I would argue that this worldview is starting to dominate in our culture again today. When the Creator is eclipsed, the creature made in his image and likeness loses all intrinsic dignity. In other words, if society decides that God doesn't exist, human life has absolutely no meaning. Does this not sound like our culture today, which we hear all in our news? People are defining themselves for themselves. And their culture based on how they want to feel rather than how God created them to be. We no longer focus on the purpose and call and worldview that God has given us. People are striving for so much pleasure through their own desires and longings and sins that they waste not their own lives, but the lives of others as well. In contrast to that bleakness, consider the worldview presented in Genesis that we read. One, there is only one God. Two, God is absolutely good. He is complete. He needs nothing outside himself. Three, God created everything from nothing, freely, effortlessly, and generously. Four, everything that God created was made out of love. Five, everything that God created is orderly and good, and he tells us that repeatedly in Genesis. Six, the highlight of everything that God created is the human person made in his God's image and likeness. 7, man and woman are created equal in dignity, and only together through their created commonality do they fully reflect God's image. And finally, 8, the end, the purpose, and the reason every human person was created was to reflect God. Look at how different the biblical account is according to these other fake myths. The biblical creation account tells of God's glory and the greatness of God's creation. Now let's unpack that a little bit. Regarding God's goodness, note one of the Christian points from Genesis. This is from the sixth day of creation. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things, and beasts on the earth according to their kinds. And it was so. God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Friends, I wonder, what creeps on the ground? Snakes. In the third chapter of Genesis, a snake emerges, and that serpent becomes the antagonist of this entire story. Even though we have our part, Satan is one of the main reasons everything went wrong. But remember this glorious truth. There is only one God, and he is extremely good and powerful. The enemy, Satan, is not a rival to God. Satan, to God, is only a weak and pathetic creature, an ant. And this snake will be crushed entirely by God. Next, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 27, we read something that is extraordinary. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, him. Male and female, he created them. What an absolutely stark contrast to the ancient Near Eastern worldview in which the so-called gods created man to be enslaved. In the biblical worldview, humans are created in God's own image and likeness. What in the world does that mean? We will unpack that starting next week. What does it mean to be in the image and likeness of God? We'll unpack that next week. But going here, know that you, my friends, are loved by God. God does not leave us alone. God does not take creation, start things off spinning, and then let it go. God is intimately involved, and not just with creation as a whole, but he loves you so very much, and he has given you the dignity that he loves you personally. He loves you fully. We are not his playthings. Praise be to God. And may this bring glory into our hearts to praise God all the more. Amen and amen. In just a moment, we'll have some people come up and help us out with worship. praise of God for his glorious creation and all that he has done. And so, let's pray together, and they will come forward. Lord God, glory be to you for all of creation. Glory be to you, O Lord, for you, by a word, have brought creation into being out of nothing. You, O Lord, created the fish of the sea and the birds of the air. You have created the livestock and those that creep along the ground. You, O Lord, have created the earth and the seas, and you place the stars in the heavens. You are the creator of all of us, and we are made in your image and in your likeness. And Lord, for all of this, for the dignity that you have given to us, because we are special in your eyes, we give you praise. We give you glory. We give you thanks. God, this week, as we look out in the fields that you have made, may our hearts sing, for you have created it. Pray all this in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Let's praise God.